Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, 17 lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we learned in the Mishnah, we learned in the Gemara, that if the animal, the Bechor, has a hole in its ear, the size of a Karshina, which the Gemara at the end of the shiur identified as a Hinda, it's a type of a bean, the Gemara, that would make the animal into a Balmum. So begins the Gemara. Barmina Roshim Rav Huna Rabba. Karshina, when we speak about the Karshina, is it Hanechneses V'yotza? Is it the size? This is where Rashi learns the Gemara, this is where we're going to learn the Gemara, that easily goes in and out. Or Karshina Ha'imedes. Or it's not that big of a hole that the Karshina goes in and out easily. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara, and as I said, that's how we're going to learn the Gemara. There are Rishonim that explain that the Gemara's question is a different question. A Kashina is a round bean. What happens if the ear of this animal has a hole, but it's not round, it's long? And the Gemara's question is, would that still fit the bill? But again, we'll learn with Rashi. Amaloi, to which he responded, Zulai Shemati, I don't have the exact answer to this question. However, Kiyotzba Shemati, there's another area in Halacha which is similar that speaks about such a situation. The Tanan, the Mishnah says the Masechta Olos. We know that Tumas Mes goes through Maga and Masa and also oil. We also know that the Halacha is that the Shedra, if there's the skeleton of a dead person, or the Gilgoylus, the skull of a dead person, they are also Metama Tumas oil. Says the Mishnah, Hashadra Vagilgoylus, the skeleton or the skull, Shechosru, they no longer have the ability to emit that tumah. Ask the Mishnah, Kama Chisarim B'Shedra, so how much must the skeleton be missing the lo yehei metam ba'oil that it should no longer emit tumas oil? B'Shamar Mishtei Choyus, B'Shamar says we're missing two vertebrae, B'Shelo Imrim Choyachas, one vertebrae. Ubel Gugoylus, when we speak about the skull, how much? B'Shamar M'Kamali Magdach, the amount of a hole that's made by a drill, or Beiselaimrim, that the shear is, Kedei Shinotl Menachai V'Yomis. If that much of the skull was missing, that if a person, an animal, would be missing that much of a skull, he could not survive, that is a skull that is a Metame Ba'oil. V'Yosar V'Chizda V'Kame Ba'olei. Rabbi Chizda tried to understand, Kedei Shinotl Menachai V'Yomis. Beisel just said this shear, that if that much of the skeleton is missing, it no longer gives off tumma. But he wanted to know kama. What, how do we give that in, how do we quantify that into a measure? Amar tachlifa baravdimi, hacha amishmul, kisela. It's the size of a cella. Vitma, and now parenthetically says the Gemara, Rav Safra ama shmatz amalei, then when Rav Tachlifi was reporting, the tachlifi baravdimi was reporting that this size is the size of a cella, he was saying it that this was a saying that was said by the Amoraim, Rav Shmuel by Yehuda Amar Masnisa, that it wasn't just Amora that said that the shear is a cella, it was actually something that we learned in a Braisa. Amalei, and he continued saying, V'simonech, if you want to remember who said it's an Amora statement, and who said it's a Braisa statement, many times in Shas, we have the phrase, Tani Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda. The Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda reported a Braisa. So if you want to remember who said it's a Braisa, that's the way to remember that it was Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda who said it was a Braisa. Vamalei. So now we have a Machloikis Beisham Beisil. How much of the skull must be missing that it shouldn't be able to emit Toma? Beisham said the size of a hole made by a drill. Rav Tachlifa said, explained that Beisil means the size of a cella. So now, he poses a question. Rav Chizda poses a question to Rav Tachlifa. We learned the Mishnah Masechta Olos that there's a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but after your explanation, im kenosisa dibur Beis Shammai v'dibur Beis Hillel achad. They're really agreeing. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, and this Mishnah refers to the issue of Tumah going from one house to another house. If there's a corpse in one house, and there's an opening from one house to the other, the tumah travels into the next house. And the Mishnah discusses how much of an opening is considered an opening that the tumah should travel. Says the Mishnah, Mar shloi nasa b'day adam. If it wasn't a man-made window, it was a man-made opening, that means the wall fell by itself. Shi'uroi, what is the size of such a window, or such an opening that the tumah should be able to spread? Malay egrif gadol, it's the size of a large fist. What does that mean, says the Gemara? Zeh groifa shel ben aftiach. Ben aftiach was a large individual. The size of his fist. And Rabbi Yossi said, it really, if you want to have an easy way of knowing the shear, nas karosh gadol shel adam, the size of the head of an adult. Now continues that Mishnah. Nas b'day adam. If, however, the opening between these two houses was a man-made window, so since it's man-made, so it has more significance, it was deliberately made, so the shear will be a smaller shear for tumah to be able to spread. Says the Mishnah, what is the shear? Shirua kamali magdach gadol shalishka, the large drill that was used in the base of Migdash. Shuku pidyon shel italki, it's the size of an Italian pungin. Ukisela neronis, and the size of a cella neronis. V'yeshna kamalei neck of shalayil. If you have a yoke around the neck of an animal, and you want to put a string into that yoke, so you have to make a hole in it. That's the size of that hole. So it gives a lot of different ways of saying the same thing. But what's relevant to our shear is the Gemara just said that the size of a hole made by the drill and the size of a cella are identical. If that's the case, what's the machlekes of Beisham and Beisahu? Ishtik. He remained silent, didn't have an answer. Vamalei Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, this question was posed to Rav Techlifa. Rav Techlifa didn't have an answer. So Rav Chisda says, Shema Magdav Chisum Shanino. There is a machlekes. Because when Beisahu spoke about the drill, he didn't mean just the drill. He also meant that the bit should be able to go in and out easily. So you need a little bigger hole. That is the difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, the size of the hole is a little bigger, because it's not just the cella, it's also the amount that you should be able to move. Vamlei Rav Techlifa, and when Rav Techlifa heard Rav Chisda offer this explanation, he said to him, "Lo tamei shema." Don't say perhaps that's the way to resolve the difficulty. Elavadai, what you're saying is 100% correct. Vadai magda fechisuma. That's what it means. And then he made a statement, which will bring to us an amud of Gemara, that's not relevant to our sugya at all. He said, "Tzorach litla salah, the teretz that you just offered." And before we go further, that's what's relevant to our shir. Because just like you see there when he says Mali Madach, he means with the room to move in and out. So that's what Kashina means in our Mishnah. He says, this teretz that you just gave, you have to rely on. You have to accept as 100% true. Just like Kechizkiah Avi Ekesh. We're going to learn a Braisa, a Mishnah and a Braisa, and a long piece of Gemara to try to explain that Braisa. It's relevant to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. The Chizkiah ben Ikesh said this braisa, and it's difficult braisa to understand, but the Mefarshim explained, two Pshatim the Rishonim, very similar, that since there's no one arguing with Chizkiah ben Ikesh in this braisa, so it's obviously the halacha, so we have an obligation to try to understand what he says. Or others explain, the Chizkiah ben Ikesh was a renowned Talmud Chacham, whose opinion was typically accepted. So when he said something, we have to accept we have to explain it, we can't just ignore it. Here too, the teretz that you gave is such a correct teretz, we must accept it. So since the Gemara mentioned Chizkiah Avi Ekesh as the example of somebody who said something that we had to explain and have to accept that explanation, the Gemara tells us what this is all about. It's not actually the Tanan, it's the Tanya, it's a Braisa. And you see it on the side of the Gemara. Zu edes heid Chizkiah ben Ikesh lefnei Rabbi Gamliel ben Yavnim. Shomer v'shomer Rabbi Gamliel hazokim. Kosh ein lo toich b'kli cheres. Any kli cheres that doesn't have an interior, ein lo achurayim lechalika. Then it doesn't have a separate back of the keli that it will become tamei. And then he continues saying, nitma toichoi. If you have, this is Posh Pshan the Brisa, we're going to move away from it very quickly. He says, nitma toichoi, nitma gaba. If the interior of this klicheris that has no interior, if the, in other words, you have a flat klicheris, so the part that's used becomes tamei, then the back will be tamei, and so too nitma gaba. If the back becomes tamei, nitma gaba. And the Gemara right away tries to understand this. Nitma toichai klicheris betoichai tal rachmana. Ask the Gemara before we read it inside that the Torah is very specific that a klicheris is only become tamei from its interior. So ask the Gemara, how could the Braisa say that if the back becomes tamei, the inside becomes tamei, the back of a klicheris can never become tamei to give off tamei? Let's read the words inside. Nitma toichai, if the back, nitma gaba, nitma toichai, how could you say that if the back of the klicheris becomes tamei, the inside becomes tamei? Don't we know, ask the Gemara, the klicheris betoichai tala rachmana, that the only way a klicheris could become tamei is from its interior, and therefore the halacha is, isle toich, if it has an interior, it melei, the interior becomes tamei, and the exterior, but less loytoich, if it doesn't have an interior, loyet melei at all. And as a machlokes rishonim, what the halach is, we're going to learn with the opinion of Rashi and most rishonim, that a klicheris can never become tamei from its exterior. That's the way we always learn. That even if a tuma mamish touches the exterior of the klicheris, certainly the interior of the klicheris will not be tamei, but even the exterior will not be tamei. There are other rishonim that learn that the exterior will be tamei, but it won't have the ability to make the interior tamei. That means, if the interior becomes tamei, to the degree that it didn't even touch, it just was suspended inside the klicheris, not only will the inside be tamei, but even the outside. If the outside becomes tamei, it will be limited to the outside. But as I said, I'm going to learn with Rashi's pshat. So we have a question. How do we understand what he said? That if the interior is tamei, the exterior is tamei, if the exterior is tamei, the interior is tamei, if it doesn't have an interior, there's nothing to be tamei. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin had to explain what he said. And he said, Hocha Kama. This is the way to understand. Kosh en leitoich b'kli cheres. Anything that doesn't have an interior by kli cheres, kenegdoi b'kli shetef en lecharayim lechlika. Which means as follows. As far as a klicheris is concerned, we are correct. A klicheris could only become tamei from its interior. No other way. So that means two halachas are being said actually. Number one, it has to have an interior, and it can only become tamei from its interior. But now we have a klishetef. And the way Rashi explains, and again, that's what we're going to learn the Gemara. When the Gemara here speaks about klishetef, it means a keli made out of wood. Why is a keli made out of wood called a kli shetef? We know the word shetef means shtifa, washing. A kli cheres cannot become tar by being put into a mikvah. A kli eitz could be put into a mikvah, so the tumah could be washed away. Tysus seems to learn that the Gemara here is not only speaking about a wood keli, it's also speaking about a metal keli. But we're going to learn with Rashi's pshat. So now, connect the kli shetef. So now if you have a wood keli, ein lecharayim lechlika. The halacha that we differentiate between the interior and exterior will not apply. And therefore, if we have a flat kli eitz, the halacha will be nitma toichai, nitma gaba. If the usable part becomes tamei, then the exterior will be tamei. And so too, nitma gaba, nitma toichai. Ask the Gemara. So we've learned a very simple halacha. That the braisa is differentiating by a wood keli between a wood keli that has an interior versus a wood keli that doesn't have an interior. If it has an interior, then the tumah is from the inside to the outside, otherwise not. Ask the Gemara, so why are we bringing kli cheres into it? We should have said the halach of a kli eitz. Lomli limit to be kli cheres. Why do we have to connect it to kli cheres? Namely, why don't we just say, kol she'en lo toich be kli shetef, that we have a kli shetef that doesn't have an interior, en lecharayim lechlika. Why are we bringing Kli Cheres into the mix? Answers the Gemara. Hakamashma. What he's trying to teach us is the Yesh Loi Toich, if you have a Kli Eitz that has an interior, Harei Kli Cheres. It ought to be treated like a Kli Cheres. Just like a Kli Cheres. Ma Kli Cheres. Nitma Toichai Nitma Gaba. As we've been saying, only from the interior can there be Tomei. If the interior is not Tomei, Loi Nit Megaboy, then the exterior will not be Tomei either. Af Kli Shetef, so to be Kli Shetef, Nit Metoichai Nit Megaboy, Loi Nit Metoichai, Loi Nit Megaba. Ask the Gemara, this is all wrong. Because what we're learning here is, what we're saying here is, that a Kli Eitz only becomes Tomei if there's Tomei inside. But that isn't true. This halacha, that a keli doesn't become tamei, can't become tamei from its exterior, is halacha limited to kli cheres. There's no such halacha by kli eitz. And that's what the Gemara asks. Bishlam and kli cheres go berechmana taichai. By kli cheres, the Torah is very specific. Tumah has to come from inside. El kli shetef. But when we speak about a wood keli, mi gola berechmana taichai, the halacha is that a kli shetef can become tamei from its exterior. That's the halacha. If tumah touches the exterior of a keli eitz, the whole keli is tamei, not by kli cheres. So what's going on here? Answers the Gemara, you're correct. Ibe tumah deraisa, were we speaking here about a tumah deraisa, hachi nami, that would be the din. That if not only does it become tamei from a wood keli, kli shetef, not only does it become tamei from the interior, it becomes tamei from the exterior as well. Hachi maiskinen, what are we speaking about over here? Tumas Mashkin Drabonim. We're speaking about Tumas Mashkin, which are only Matamid Rabbonim. Because Midai Raisa, the only way a Keli could become Tamei, if it is exposed to an Av HaTumah. And since it's exposed, and since Oichlim and Mashkin are never, besides for one case that we're going to learn in a moment, an Av HaTumah, so you can't have a keli becoming tamei from oichlin and mashkin, because they're only rishon l'tumas, and rishon l'tumas can't make a keli tamei. Rabbi Chanan has a very yeshivish hakira. Why? Is it the weakness of a keli or the weakness of the food? Is it that a keli is too weak to be able to be makabel tuma from oichlin and mashkin? So it's a problem with the makabel, or is it a problem with the matamei that oichlin and mashkin don't have the ability to give off that much tamei? I'm not going to go into all the nafkaminas. But, so we're talking here about Tumad Rabbon. The Tanan, as the Mishnah indeed teaches us, Keli Shenitma, Achura B'mashkin, that if the outside of a Keli becomes Tamei, a wood Keli, becomes Kamei with Mashkin, Achura of Tameim, only the outside is Tamei, Toichai, its interior, Ognai, its rim, two pshatim in the rim, either the rim on top, or the base on the bottom. Ozna v'yad of its handles, tahirim. Nitma, toichai, kula tamei. But if the interior becomes tamei, then the exterior will be tamei as well. So now let's understand what the Mishnah taught us. When we have a wood keli, and it's exposed to tumah derabanan, the Mishnah teaches us that if the tumah derabanan touch the outside, the tumah will be limited only to the outside, and not pass on to the other parts of the keli. But if the tumah is in the inside of that kli shetef, this tumah derabanan, this mashkin oichlin, then it'll be the outside as well. Why? Because as we just explained, the midaraisa ain't oichl matamah keli, they mashkin matamah keli. Food and mashkin do not have the ability to be matamah keli. V'rabanan hu degazu, and Rabbanan said that they have, that it will be tameh, because as I said a moment ago, there is one case that mashkin have the ability to make a kli tamei midaraisa. The mashka zava zava. Because the halach is the mayonis hazava zava, liquids that secrete from the body of a zava zava are an avatoma. And if they're avatoma, the metama kalim. So because of that, Chazal made a gzera that even mashkin that aren't the mashkin of a zava zava should be metama kliates. However, says the Gemara, Hilcha Shavu Rabbanan Ketum de Kli Cheres. The Rabbanan had now a real issue, as the Gemara is going to explain. Let's think about this case. We have this Keli, that was exposed to Tumah Derabbanan. What's Tumah Derabbanan? Tumas Mashkin. That the entire reason Rabbanan said it's Matama Kalim is because of Gzera Mashkin Zava Zava. Now, Truma is put into that Keli. So we have a real dilemma. The halacha is, Truma Tameya must be burnt. Truma Tahira may not be burnt. So this Truma, what are you going to do with it? Burn it? Midaraisa is Truma Tahira. This Keli isn't Tameya Midaraisa. Eat it? It's Truma Midarabanam. So you got to leave it. How are you going to know that you should not treat it as if it was Tamid Midaraisa by making this rule that differentiating if the Tumah came from the outside versus when the Tumah came from the inside? Now let's read. Hilkach, Shavu Rabbanan Ketumah de Glicheris. The Rabbanan treated it like a Glicheris, that there's a difference if the Tumah is from the inside versus from the outside. V'loi Shavu Rabbanan to Tumah Deraisa Nafshei. They don't treat it like real Tumah Deraisa. And the Gemara explains why of the Rabbanan Akeir, Chazal specifically did this. Because otherwise, as I just explained, you may burn Truma, Kachim, the Midaraisa you're not allowed to burn. Ask the Gemara, and so therefore, not to come back full circle. What is the halacha? If it has an interior, so there we say the following halacha. That if the exterior is exposed, the interior will not be tamei. If the interior is exposed, the exterior will be tamei. But if it's a flat keli, then it doesn't make a difference. Ein lo toich, but ask the Gemara why. If we're worried that you may end up treating this like a Tumah Deraisa with its serious repercussions, ask the Gemara, ein lo toich namulah medei akeira. Just like by Kli Shetev that has an interior, we need to make this differentiation to avoid a problem. Why don't we do that by a Kli Shetev that doesn't have a Toich? Answers the Gemara. Yedia de Enloi Toich de Rabbanan. Since they know that when it has an interior, it's going to be treated differently, that is enough of a hecker. Ask the Gemara. So we're saying now, that's the basis of this whole Gemara, that a Kli Shetev can be Mekabel Tumah, whether it's flat or it has an interior. And by Tumah Derabbanan, Chazal made a differentiation when it has an interior. Ask the Gemara, V'ein lo toich b'Kli Shetev, the Raisa bak Kibul Tumahu? How could a Kli Eitz that doesn't have an interior have any Tumah? Haven't we learned, Dumi the Sak B'inan, that in order for Kli Eitz to be able to be susceptible to Tumah, it has to be similar to a Sak? Mas sak, and what is the characteristic of a sak? That it's metalta mole verekon, that it's movable, it has an interior and it's movable. Afko metalta mole verekon. So we're speaking here about the status of a flat wood keli that was exposed to tumah, tumah derabbanan, tumah deraisa. If it's flat, there's no tumah at all. Answer the Gemara, flat kli eitz does have a situation that could have tumah deraisa, even though it has no interior. When? The Chazal L'Medrasas. There's a din, we go back to the Zav, of Medras HaZav, that anything that's made for the Zav, that the Zav could sit on or lay on, becomes Tamei and Avatoma. And that you could sit on a bench, which is a flat piece of wood. Ask the Gemara, so why are we differentiating between Cheres and Kli Eitz? You could sit on a Cheres also. Yehachi Cheres Nami, a Medras B'Kli Cheres. Nobody sits on earthenware, because it's just going to crack. Just to review. So what Avi Ikish tell us? That if you have a wood kli, you have a wood keli, and it was exposed to Tumah Derabbanan, it makes a difference if it was from the outside versus if it was from the inside. If it was from the outside, it will not spread to the inside. If it was on the inside, it will spread to the outside. But if it's a flat keli, where it could have a Tumah Deraisa by Medris, then the inside and the outside travel together. One point that I saw, an interesting question. We know in Hilchas Sukkah that one of the most fundamental halachas of Hilchas Sukkah is that the schach may not be able to be mekabel tumah. That's why we use, very much in line with our Gemara, flat pieces of wood, either boards or bamboo, all that are not mekabel tumah. But many times, people make a hole in the schach. They want to hang nice sukkah, they want to hang decorations. So they're knocking a nail. And why isn't that considered that's now a kli kibble for the nail? So the Chazanish explains the definition of a kli kibble is meant that it's used for storage. When you put a nail into a wood, that you should be able to keep the nail in there, that doesn't mean it's meant to become a receptacle. A kli kibble means a receptacle. We go back to Masechet Bechoros. So Rapapa is coming back to address the issue that we started with. The Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel seem to be saying the same thing. And says the Gemara, when he spoke about the Maktich, he meant the Maktich Gol Shnino. He spoke about a large drill. Mechlal, which indicates that the large drill is different. The Maktich Stam, a regular drill, not a large drill, Zutra Nami Kemisela, is even smaller than a cellar. And what he's saying is as follows. The Beis Shammai is speaking about a drill. And the drill is smaller than the cellar. When we said before that the drill is the same size of a cellar, it's only a large drill. But Beis Shammai wasn't talking about a large drill. He was speaking about a small drill. Ask the Gemara, Hanich l'Rameyer, this explanation will work according to Rameyer. El Rabbanah Mayik l'Rameyer, but it won't work according to Rabbanah. The Gemara explains itself. The Tanan, Beis of Magdech Amru, when Beis Shammai said we're speaking about a drill, what kind of drill was he speaking about? The cotton shall rise from the Rameya. So a small drill that's used by doctors. So a pop is saying that the Beis Shammai is speaking about a small drill, which is smaller than a cellar, and therefore our question is resolved. Because the cellar that Beis Shammai speaks about is larger than a drill that Beis Shammai speaks about. Fine. But the Chacham say, it's begol shalish, the Beis Shammai is speaking about a large drill. If he's speaking about a large drill, we're back to Al-Kasha. A large drill is the same size of a cellar. Furthermore, says the Gemara, you're saying the coin from Meir, Beis Shammai says it's a small drill, which is smaller than a cellar. But then we have a new issue open up. Have a Mekula Beis Shammai, Mechumra Beis Hillel. It'll turn out that Beis Shammai is the Mekel. That even the smallest hole will make the animal not susceptible to Truma, the skull not susceptible to Truma, and Beis Hillel needs a larger hole, the size of a cellar. And as we quoted recently, all the situations in Shas where Beis Shammai is a Mekel and Beis Hillel is a Machmer are mentioned in Masechet Idyos. So that would be the explanation of this Mishnah. Anan d'tanan tanan, the loytanan loytanan. What's mentioned in Masechet Idyos is accepted as a Kula Beis Shammai. What's not mentioned in Masechet Idyos is not. So how can we explain it this way? And the Ritva says, it's a point that we made in Masechet Chulin, that even though it's not really a kula, because it's a kula in Hilchas Tumah, but it's a chumra in Hilchas Treifas, because these two rules travel together, and therefore, according to Beis Shammai, an animal will become treifa quicker. We're focused, this halacha is really a tumah halacha. The treifa is just a secondary, so that can't be pshat. So therefore, the Gemara gives a different answer, how to reconcile our problem, that it seems that a cell and a drill are exactly the same. What is the machlokes then of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? Rav Nachman Amar cell and neroinus sheninu. We're speaking about a cell and neroinus. A cell and neroinus k'magdich dol. K'sel stam, zutra m'magdich stam. He says there are two types of drills, and there are two types of cellar. There's a big drill and a small drill, and there's a regular drill, and there's a cellar. And he says as follows. When we said before that the cell is the same size as a drill, that's the big drill. That's the biggest hole. Then you have a regular drill, which is smaller, and then you have the cellar, which is even smaller. So everything is great. Beis Hillel is speaking about the regular cellar, which is the smallest. Beis Shammai is speaking about the regular drill, which is a little bigger. And the cell and the roinus and the big drill are the same size, but neither Beis Shammai nor Beis Hillel are speaking about that. Says the Mishnah. So the first Mishnah, as I said yesterday, of our Perek spoke about a mum in the ears. Now our Mishnah speaks about a mum in the eyes. And I explain because we're working with the head going downwards. First the ears, and now we're down to the eyes. Harish Shalayan. If anyone is going to speak what the wrist means, Shanikav, Shanifkam, Shanistak, it has a hole, it has a niche, it has a split. Harei Ba'ainoi. If somebody has in his eye, Dak Tavlon, Chalazan Nachish, and ask the Gemara Mishnah immediately, Eza Tavlo, Lovin, Hapaisik Basira, v'nichnas b'shachar, is something that goes from the white of the eye into the black of the eye, or, says the Mishnah, something b'shachar v'nichnas b'lovin, ain't a mum. If it goes from the white to the black, it is a mum. If it goes from the black to the white, it's not a mum. Begins the Gemara. My haris, what does the ris mean? Amra papa, Torah bar the aina, the covering of the eye, which means the eyelid. Dak tavlin, the Mishnah spoke about the dak tavla, Tana rabbanan, dak mishuka, if the dak looks like it's sunken into the eye, hareza a mum, then it can be considered a mum. Sof, but it's floating on top of the eye, ain't a mum. It's not considered a mum. Ask the Gemara, so here we're saying that sunken is a problem, floating isn't. Ask the Gemara Vatanya Ipcha, but there's a brisa that says just the opposite. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Haba Shachar, Haba Lovin. By one of them, floating is a problem and sunken isn't, and by the other one, just the opposite. Ask the Gemara, how could you give this teretz? The brisa, the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah said that anything in the wider eye is not a problem altogether. V'tanan Eimun B'Lovin. Ella, says the Gemara, Habadaik Lovin, Habadaik Shavkar. It makes a difference if it's a black dot or a white dot. Dama Rabba Babachana Sakhli Rabbeishid Min Usha. Dak Shachar, if it's a black thing, Mishukha, if it looks like it's sunken into the eye, Hareza Mum, Soft, but if it looks like it's floating on the eye, Enimum. But if it's a Dak Lovin, if it's a white covering, then just the opposite. Mishukha Enimum, Sof harezemum. The simanach, and the way to remember, is by a barka. A barka is a mum, and there is a difference if it's a black barka or a white barka. Ask Tysus, a very important Tysus, how could we say that a barka is a mum when the Gemara says Tysus, Masech de Gittin, teaches us the remedy to a barka? So if it has a remedy, it's not a mum. So Tysus gives two turutzim. The first Tysus gives is that when the Gemara Masech de Gittin says that a baraka has a remedy, it's a preventive remedy. That before, if a person wants to avoid Chas v'Shalom, this baraka disease, do what the Gemara says in Masech de Gittin. That's one teretz. But then Tysus says a very big chiddush in the second teretz. He says, when is a mum considered a mum over, that it should not be considered a mum? Only when it's such a mum that it'll go away by itself. But if it requires your intervention, you're applying a medication to make the mum go away, even though it can go away through medicine, that doesn't make it into mum either. A very big chiddush. The question is, that I saw the Achronim debate, why would be the halacha, let's say we have the barakah, the Tosfos says, is considered a mum kavu even though it could be remedied. What happens if you remedied it? And now the animal is fine. Is the animal considered a bal mum or not? Very big machloek sachroinim. The Reish Bikurim takes the opinion that it's not going to be a mum. Now it's fine. You have a fine animal. Nobody told you to fix it. Nobody told you to medicate it. But if you did, it's not a bal mum. The Chazanish seems to say that it was nitcha. Became disqualified and remains permanently disqualified. So I saw that Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein makes a very interesting observation. He says, let's say my animal, I have a Bechor. I'm a Kohen, I have a Bechor. And as we've been learning, the main issue of our Masechta, I'm waiting for it to become a Bal Mum. Otherwise I'm stuck with it. So to develop this Barka, so it's a Mum we just explained. Now, I have a neighbor, a friend, who's a doctor. And he went unasked and medicated this animal, and now it's fine. So he caused me a problem. Because till he would have cured it, it was a bal mum. I could eat it for supper. Now that he made it into bal mum, now that he healed it, I can't touch it. So do I have a right to take him to Dentara for the loss that he caused me that I have to now raise the animal? He suggests perhaps I do. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah mentioned Chilazim Nashkosh Atzif. So now the Gemara wants to know. Ask the Gemara. Ibalu Chilazim Hu Nachash. is chilazon and nachash one and the same? Oidem oy chilazon and nachash. Is it chilazon nachash or is it two separate things? So the Gemara says an interesting story. Tashma. Damar Rabba Bechana Sachli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar. Zachen Echad Habishu Zuch Naseinu. There was an elderly Talmud Chacham in our neighborhood. Rav Shimon ben Yosi L'kun Yishmai. His name was Rav Shimon ben Yosi. Umayamai Loivati L'fanav. I was always careful out of respect not to walk in front of him. Pamachas Amati L'fanav. One time I was in a rush and I walked in front of him. Amalei Shebeni Shef. Please sit down. And he asked me, and he told me, this animal that has a chalazin is a mum kavua. And this is the nachash that Chazal referred to in our Mishnah. V'afapini continued, ein adam roi mum l'atzmai. I am a kohen, and as we've been learning, a kohen can't paskin on his own animal. Avamara halacha l'tamidim. The Talmid Chacham could teach his students the halacha, and then the Talmidim could paskin on his behalf. Ask the Gemara. So that's what happened. First he taught them the halacha about the chilazin, and then he showed them the animal and said, so now paskin. Ask the Gemara. Amarav Huna called Talmid Chacham Shahat Moir halacha ba. If the Talmid Chacham says a psak, imkay the maisa amra. If somebody just set up sack in the yeshiva, and then the question comes up, and I remember what my Rebbe said, or the Talmid Chacham refers back to what he said, Shaymalai. Vimlav ain't Shaymalai. So how can we accept his psak when he set up sack and it was relevant to a question that he had? Answers the Gemara, in a Nami Mari Havim Mikara. He already said this halacha in the yeshiva long before the question came up. So we're learning here a very important rule, that if a Rav teaches a halacha that is relevant la halacha lemaisa as he's teaching it, we don't accept what he said. Machloikis Rishonim. Some Rishonim saying this, the opinion of most Rishonim. It's only if it's a question that's relevant to him, as it was at this Gemara. Let's say a Rav says a halacha, and then he paskins based on the halacha that he just said, but it has nothing to do with him, so why not? The Meiri takes a very strong opinion. He says, even then you can't upset. Why? So the Rishonim explain, Chas v'shalom, we don't accuse Talmid Chacham of being liars. They just fabricate a halacha because it's to their benefit. You're not a Talmid Chacham if you do that. The Gemara is speaking, Chazal is speaking to human nature. What is human nature? Human nature is to defend, one defends his opinion. And therefore, if I say something, and then I'm challenged, my first reaction is going to be to try to defend it. And therefore, that's the concern, not that Chas v'Shalom I'm a liar. And that's why the Paiskim say that let's say I say something and it's relevant to me, but it's not that I just say it. I show it that it's written in an acceptable sefer. That's a different thing, because I showed it in the sefer. It's not that it's just my statement that you're relying on. Or, the Taz says, let's say I don't just say it. I quote it in the name of someone else, who you could check up if indeed it could be verified that he said it, then this Gemara wouldn't be relevant. Continues the Gemara, Ezo Tavlo, Love and Apaisik Sasira. Says the Gemara, Masnisimani, whose opinion does our Mishnah represent? Says the Gemara, it represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya Love of Nichnas B'Shachar, Shachar V'Nichnas B'Lovin, doesn't make a difference the white into the black or the black into the white. Harezamom, Divirameyor, Rabbi Yossi Aymer, Love of a nechnas b'shachar. Something starts in the white and goes into the black. Hareza a mum. Shachar. However, the nechnas b'lovin ain't a mum. She'ain mum l'lovin. Amr meyim my tam der b'yosi the mum limited to the black. The ksiv yoytze mechol of a neima. Tab de ain ikra. A neima stamla ikra. The white of the eye is not considered the real eye. Remeya. Remeya says that even the white, a mum and the white is a mum. My tama, my lashon tovel, dova mebalbas ayinayim. Anything that's not supposed to be there is a problem. Continues the Gemara. Chavarva v'mayim akavua, Mishnah. Chavarva v'mayim akavua. Eza charva akavua, says the Gemara, shoshosh shmoni yoyim. Any animal that has this condition for 80 days is considered balmum. Rav Chanina ben Tegnus, Oymar, We do an investigation, which we'll speak about in the Gemara in a second, Mishnah in the Gemara in a second, in these 80 days, to see what does this accomplish. Rashi says that these are remedies. And if it has, if we try these things and it gets healed, it's not a balmum. Tosfos, true to his shita, says this is the way to determine if it's a balmum or not. Veilein mum akavun. What's my makavun? Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. Och of lach v'yavish shagishamim. If you ate moist or dry grain of a field that is irrigated just by rain. In all these cases, that won't be a way of determining if it's a mum, unless you first eat the moist. Says the Gemara, Masnisan Mani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehudi. The Tanya, Chavur HaKavua, Abaram Yoim. A Chavur HaKavua is determined in 40 days, or Mayim HaKavuim, you need Shmoinim Yoim. Divrei Rameyer, Rabbi Yehuda Leimer, Chivra Shmoinim Yoim, that even the Chivra needs an 80-day test. Veilem Mayim HaKavuim, Ochav Lach V'Yavish, if somebody ate the Lach and Yavish, shall Beis Habal, Beis Habal means a field that doesn't need extra rain, V'loi Ochav, V'loi Lach v'yavish shabeis ha-shlochim, but you're not, the one that needs extra rainwater isn't going to be good. Osh ochl yavish v'akach ochl lach, or if you ate the dry grain, and then you ate the most grain, ein mum ach yoichl yavish achalach. You have to eat first the dry grain, and then the moist grain.